How's it going, guys? Welcome back to another episode of HQI Sports. For this episode, I have another interview for you guys. It's with Zach Shoemaker, basketball analyst. We have a great conversation. We talk about everything from high school sports or high school basketball all the way to the NBA Finals and even the recent postponements that we've seen throughout the sports world. We have a great conversation. Thank you so much for Zach for coming on this podcast. I really do appreciate it. I would love to have you back sometime just to have any one of these conversations. But without further ado, let's drive straight into this episode. And once again, welcome back to another episode of HQI Sports. I'm your host, Josh Hobbs. Just before we jump into this interview, I just want to say quickly, be sure to go follow my socials. Go follow me on Instagram. Go follow my Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram either at HQI Sports or go follow my personal account, which is Josh_Hobbs22. Both accounts have information about when I'll upload next and just more daily content in general. And go follow my Twitter account, which is HQI_sports. I really do appreciate all the support. Thank you so much, Zach, for coming on this podcast. I'd love to have you back sometime. Especially now that since I learned that you're a KU fan, which I did not know before we started recording this. Very just a complete coincidence. But that's enough of me talking. Let's get straight into this interview. How's it going, guys? Welcome back to another special episode of HQI Sports. I have another interview for you guys today. And that person is Zach Shoemaker. If you guys don't know who that is, he is a basketball analyst covering some of the top high school basketball prospects as well as college prospects and even talking to people from JUCO and the NBA. Zach, welcome to the podcast.
Appreciate having me on today.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've been looking at your content and just following you for probably around a year now, and all of it is just great. I mean, props to you for getting all those prospects. I don't know how you do it.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a journey. I mean, definitely just getting this opportunity, getting to grow and get a lot of relationships now with a lot of guys has definitely been an awesome process.
I couldn't imagine what it's been like. Well, for people who are listening to this, I only started a month ago, but you have done such a great job, and you know, we're pretty much the same age, so all the credit to you. But let's get Zachary dive into some content. First, I just want to ask you, you know, how'd you get started? You know, what made you want to, you know, do this as a career?
Yeah, so I mean, it's been kind of a long process. I mean, I grew up playing the game of basketball, loving it, and pretty much my whole life that was kind of my dream, wanting to play college ball and all that. And around seventh grade, and kind of make it a shorter story though. I mean, we moved into seventh grade to a different house than one I'm in right now, and there was a lot of health issues that came up. We had black mold in the home and I was allergic to it, and it caused me to miss a lot of seventh, eighth grade, freshman season, and a lot of school. I mean, it kind of set me really behind in terms of that, and I tried coming out, played basketball my freshman year at Gilbert Christian, transferred to a different school where I graduated at Castile, and at that point, I mean, I just kind of missed a lot of years. Just a lot of stuff kind of came with that as well, and so after sophomore season, I started evaluating, is this what I want to continue doing? I knew my dream was to originally be an NBA GM at some point, and that was something I still wanted to do. I tried making connections, got to know a lot of GMs in the NBA, but there's just not many things you can do as a high school student, even a college student with the NBA until you graduate college. And I kind of wanted to explore what can I do in the basketball world the next 2 to 6 years, really. And media was something that I really was interested at the time, too. And I kind of started going down that path, looking at it, trying to reach out to people. And I started a podcast about 16 months-ish ago. And from there, I mean, it just kind of took off. We started growing, and that's kind of where I got to now.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Sorry about the bold, by the way.
Yeah, that was definitely a journey.
So as a basketball fan yourself, you know, you've been covering this for, you know, quite a while, and I assume you watch tons of basketball, you know, off camera and all that stuff. Is there a moment for you that you kind of look back where you kind of look at that moment and you're like, wow, that's kind of the moment I kind of fell in love with the game?
I mean, I was kind of born into it. I mean, I know we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. I mean, I was born, my baby pictures were taken in Jayhawk stuff in the basketball world. I was born in March, so March Madness, and really just kind of grew up and just fell in love with the game of basketball that way. I mean, I believe I started playing around first kindergarten, first grade era time. And I just kind of always loved basketball. I loved the Jayhawks, loved college. It was my first thing I really started loving. And ever since then, I kind of just grew. I mean, I've never really faded away from the love of basketball since I was pretty much started really kind of grasping concepts of just life.
Yeah. Also, for people listening to this, I actually did not know he was a KU fan before I started this. So that is a complete coincidence. I know I probably have KU bias sometimes. That is generally not bias. But I totally get what you're saying. I can remember vividly when I was like probably 3 or 4, and you know, either, you know, watching KU actually win the championship in 2008, or even the year prior when they like lost in the tournament. I think I cried like a baby. So so right around the same age, you kind of just, you know, fell in love with basketball. But where you are now, you know, obviously you've been interviewing, you know, tons of high school prospects and all that. Where do you want to grow to? Like, what's your ultimate goal of where you want to be?
Yeah, so, I mean, I really want to kind of create that relationship with a lot of guys. I know a lot of media tends to just focus on pointing out the negative stuff, kind of just using athletes as them and their platform. And my kind of route I want to take is being more creating the bonds, creating friendships with them where I kind of grow with these guys. I mean, kind of start, obviously, the 2020 class, the guys that are going to college this freshman season, and pretty much now on through the 2024 or 2025 class even, and just creating those relationships. I mean, these guys are the guys that's going to make the future of the NBA, future of college. I mean, these guys will be the guys we see for their foreseeable future. And so just creating that relationship, kind of following them throughout their high school journeys, their college journeys, and eventual pro journeys, and end up kind of covering them at the ESPN level, a Fox Sports level, a CBS Sports level. One of those levels in terms of having my own show is kind of the ultimate goal I have.
That'd be definitely cool. And also, you know, back what you kind of said earlier, like so many of, you know, interviews or coverage on these players typically tends to be negative. And even if they do get some positive feedback, they are pretty much, they're pretty much bound to have some negative feedback in the future because not everyone has their best game every game. So what you're doing, I really do respect it. But even though we are pretty much the same age and you couldn't have been doing this for a while. Is there any interviews that you kind of look back on and you're like, oh, I could have done, like, that could have gone a little bit better? Or are there any interviews that you look back on and you're like, wow, I really nailed that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the first ones, I mean, my first interview ever, I mean, I didn't really have a lot of big-time connections to start off with, obviously. And the first one, I had my brother on. And I mean, if you go back and listen to the first one, I think it was like March 10th when I first released that. It wasn't quite the best one. I mean, we had about a three-minute interview and we kind of just went over RJ Barrett versus Zion Williamson and not really where I'm at now. I mean, sometimes we bring up NBA stuff, but typically there's about 10 to 30 minute interviews about their life, about the players only. And I mean, you just look at the journey from that 16 month time. It's really been a long journey since then.
RJ Barrett versus Zion was a very good topic. I got to give you credit for that. and I also relate to that too. I had a, probably it was like my 9th episode. I collabed with my friend who, me and him were like, I was part of like our school newspaper and we were like, he was kind of like my sports partner. So that's all very relatable to me. But kind of transition this, as you know, like a high school and college basketball insider, this is from me personally. And I'm sure you can attest to the game of high school basketball has grown a ton over the past decade, especially through, you know, social media and all that stuff. I mean, you have kids, or prospects playing high school basketball with millions of followers on Instagram. Like Mikey Williams, like one of the top prospects, and I think 2023, it has like 5 million followers already. And the dude's like 15 or 16 years old, which is just crazy. Do you like how high school basketball has grown? And what is your opinion on, you know, these kids at where they're at and how old they are? Is that healthy for them to have this many followers?
I think it's something that long-term it will help them. I mean, I've had the blessing. My brother played with Strive for Greatness, played with Blue Chips, where we were around Bronny, we were around Jazeera, those guys. I knew Mikey from the Compton Magic Connection. And, I mean, I think when you look at these guys, having that medium, I mean, at some point, these guys are going to make it to that level that they want. It's the high-level college, it's NBA, and that fame will come to them at some point. And over time, I mean, obviously, is having them at a – getting kind of waiting until they're 18 or older to get that fame. Could that help them out? Yes, but – I think for these guys, having them get this connection, having them learn how to adapt to social media fans at a young age will allow them to come in and now as a freshman or a rookie season even and this media will not affect them to the level. I mean, you're having guys like Bronny play at arenas that are sold out, things that Timberwolves couldn't even do many times this past year. They did it by themselves. So these guys are getting accustomed to playing with this many crowd, this many people watching them at such a young age that I think by the time they get to the college level, the NBA level, I think they're going to be a lot more comfortable. We're going to see a lot more star freshmen, star rookie players right out the gate.
I totally agree. And then also, you know, college basketball has definitely evolved definitely in the last decade, not just because, you know, the shorts have gotten shorter, but for other reasons, like we've seen the recent trend in the past couple of years of players deciding to either go to the G League or, you know, going overseas because that's a better option for them. Do you see that happening more and that that trend, like, you know, growing more? And what is your opinion on players who do that?
Most definitely. I'm all for it. I mean, I have kind of the blessing to know the prolific prep guys real well, Jalen Green, all them. And I think taking this pro route is huge for them. I think when you look at guys in the past in college, DeAndre Ayton's, Marvin Bagley's, Zion Williamson's, these guys that are phenoms in college, it's in a way too easy for them. They're dominating. No one's at their height, their skill, and they're not really being pushed. You put them in the G League, put them overseas. they're making such a big jump. They're getting a lot more developed. They're being pushed. They get to grow as a player, professional. And that's huge for them. I think these guys that are just dominating college isn't benefiting them. And then when you put in the aspect that they're making money, they're able to provide for the families. And a lot of these guys are not coming from secure, safe scenarios at back home. And for them to get that $500,000, that $1 million check, is a massive upgrade for them for the financial future, but also mostly just right now preparing them for what their pro dreams are.
Yeah, totally. The fact that, you know, the NCAA, I mean, they're trying to do a little bit, but the fact that they've never paid their athletes is just absolutely ridiculous to me. I'm sure you pretty much feel the same way. Over the past few years, you know, we've had, you know, the NCAA allegations, you know, of these colleges trying to pay their players, which is illegal. Do you think that's going to have, you know, a looming effect over college basketball, or that's kind of just going to fade away as the years go on?
I think it's something that they need to address. And I think with the way they're handling it right now, it's not the right way. You look at what they did at Oklahoma State. I know a lot of those guys real well, Donovan Williams, Matthew Alexander Moncrief, Cade Cunningham, all those guys. They're guys that have nothing to do with this. But 4 years ago, a former coaching staff, former team, paid some players, had a lot of illegal stuff. They just had to wait 4 years now for punishment, where this is no one on this roster right now has anything to do with what happened 4 years ago. A different head coach, entirely different coaching staff, not a single player on that roster. And now these guys are being punished for not going to the tournament when no one in this entire program had anything to do with it. So I think if you're the NCAA, you can't be waiting 4 years to make an entire shift. I mean, if it's something that you catch them, you can punish them right away. But I think taking stuff away from guys that have nothing to do with what happened in the past is not right. And I think that the paying issue will be addressed. I think the name, image, likeness will be huge. And they need to find a way to get just check in some capacity to get some kind of payment that can help them, support them, and kind of get rid of this corruption.
Yeah, I actually had never thought about that way before, and I totally agree with you that, you know, players who played in like the early 2000s, like the early 2010s, none of that applies to people who are enrolling in their program now. Great point there. But with covering, you know, so many of the top high school prospects, and just obviously just following high school basketball closely, who is the best player that you think has come out of high school in the past 3 years?
I mean, I personally have really started heavily with the 2020 class. I mean, I'll kind of go off of 2020. And I think when we look at, personally, to say this, 2020, I believe, is going to be one of the best draft classes we've ever seen. I think top to bottom, because the amount of guys that have now reclassed, guys like Jonathan Kuminga, the list goes on there, that's going to be a special class. And you have all kinds of different potential. You have guys like Jalen Green, which I saw the Paul George comparison recently. I like that a lot. Evan Mobley is the guy that was number one for about 3 years, and for him to still be number one is not a far shot. He is 7'1". He's been working on bringing the ball up. He's going to run some small forward guard positions, but also he's the most dominant big man. He's got a 7'8" wingspan. He has a 42-inch plus vertical. He's athletic, and he's going to be phenomenal. He just needs to add some weight on him. Cade Cunningham is the most solidified guy, I think, right now, just because of his mass, because of his size and his skill. But I think you're looking at a deep class where there are guys that there's over 150-plus guys in that class that have pro potential down the road. If it's going to take 2, 3, 4 years to develop, there's going to be a lot of talent in that senior class.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you have – I mean, I've been seeing posts a lot recently about, like, people who are breaking down all the players like who are playing the bubble right now and like where they were as a high school ranking. And you wouldn't believe how many players who are actually playing right now who were not five-star recruits at all, not even close. If you're asking me, I really like Patrick Baldwin Jr. I'm not sure that applies to my question because he's kind of the future class, but I really like his comparison to Klay Thompson. I think he's going to be a really special player. So I don't think KU has any chance of getting him, but he's going to be a great player. Kind of move on to kind of what's happening now. What are your opinions and thoughts on, you know, all the postponements happening recently?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we haven't noticed. I think baseball started playing a lot of stuff yesterday. And women's NBA, I believe, is playing today. NBA will be Saturday. I think overall, I kind of support. I mean, when you look at what it was, it's a day or two off. Now, I think if they cancel the season, that'll bring other effects into it. But but I think overall, the NBA, they're going to take the time. And what they did, I mean, I think they used the past 2 days great. And today as well, they're calling the governors. They're trying to make a change with the governmental system, with society. I think that's where you need to see the change. I mean, I think just sitting at home, just saying tweets it's fine, but it's not really getting much done. When you're talking to the White House, when you're talking to the government systems, you're trying to make a change. I think that's what truly leads it, because if you have guys like LeBron James, Chris Paul, some of these guys that are true athletes, NFL guys, contacting the government system, I think it's going to make a change, especially at the local systems. And that's why I think has been beneficial. And to have the NBA come back, they realize they have a big platform. We see what Doc Rivers' speech did the other day. That went big because of the fact he was in the bubble. He's being a coach right now, playing. And I just think that they realized that they had the platform, they had the upper hand, and leaving the bubble would have left a lot of open gaps for them. They have a lot of opportunity if they just use it right. And I think it's going to be good if they stay there, but I think the past 2 days have been good. It's kind of helped them kind of adjust to it, kind of get their minds back locked in, but also make a big adjustment in the past 2 days.
Yeah, I released an episode yesterday basically saying where I stand with it, and I totally agree with you. I completely support all their decisions. But what is your response to someone who, like, if someone would come up to you and say, you know, I don't agree with any of these postponements, I don't support what they're doing at all, what would your response be to that person, hypothetically?
I mean, overall, if they don't get it, I mean, it's something, like I said, I think because of the fact that it's only going to be 2 or 3 days or whatnot, I think you overall just have to look at the impact. It's not guys, they're not just sitting at home or doing nothing. I mean, these guys are actually contacting government officials, they're talking to the White House, they're doing all these different things right now, making change. They're trying to promote exactly what they stand for, and that's what I think is huge. And you look at it, as I said, they're agreeing, they're coming back to play. If there's a problem with just taking 2 days off, I'm not really sure what the problem should be with that. I think that is perfectly fine what they just did, and I mean, I don't think there's much things you can really criticize for what they haven't handled the past couple of days.
Yep, totally agree. Moving on to kind of the NBA a little bit more. Who is your pick to win the finals right now?
I think this bubble format is really changing a lot. I mean, I think heading in, of course, the Lakers, Clippers in the mix. I personally had Clippers because of the depth. Now, you look at this, I think the Eastern Conference is struggling. I'm not sure anyone out there, whoever makes it, I'm not really confident. I think it will be a Western Conference team. The Bucks, I know they've been doing good stuff against the Magic recently, but that first game, we just know it's going to be hard for Giannis to come out and win a championship because of the way people can collide on them. And there's not much threats out of the East right now. There's a lot of ups and downs, inconsistencies out there. As for the West, I think you're looking at a lot of big-time teams. Lakers are still, they're going to beat Portland. That's not a question there. Love them. I do think Ivan had Dallas, one of the wild-card teams. They need Porzingis back, and they need Luka healthy. Those two are special. Porzingis is pretty much as close to Kevin Durant in terms of unguardable as possible. 7-3 can shoot from wherever. Luka can do what Luka does, and they have great pieces around them. Clippers, I mentioned, they have the depth. They have the star power. Rockets as well. This bubble format really fits them well in terms of almost playing pickup ball. When you talk about one-on-one guys, you got two of the best maybe ever to do it in terms of Harden, in terms of Westbrook, and those two guys can be scary when they get Westbrook back. And I think those are some of the teams you're really looking at as legit threats to have a legit chance of winning this thing.
Yeah, I completely agree that the bubble really, I don't think there's really any trustworthy teams right now, at least from what we've seen so far. But in terms of Dallas and how they've played so far, I think you give them one more year and they're like serious title contenders, because Luka, I think people thought he was going to be good, even though there's definitely kind of a stigma around European players coming to America. But I think he's overperformed in all aspects. What are your thoughts on Luka and the Dallas Mavericks so far?
Yeah, so coming out, I mean, I thought that that 2019 class was a special class, and it's proven to be that. And I think coming out of Europe, we have seen countless guys that are so-called busts, but we've also seen a lot of guys that are guys that are undrafted, guys that are late second-round picks trying to be great. Nikola Jokic, 44th pick in the draft, we see what he's become now. He's an all-star, a top three center in the NBA, and the list goes on with that. You look at that, and Luka comes out, and we see the difference between him. A lot of guys are playing in the European B League, C Leagues, which aren't as special. You can put up big-time numbers, almost like the G League for Europe. Luka was playing at the highest level. He was playing with the other pros, with the other former NBA players. He was playing at the highest level crowds, and he was winning MVP of that. That's what separated. I think a lot of people, including myself, didn't really look at that and realize he is playing as the best of the best, and he's winning MVP. He's basically, I mean, you can call it, he's 18 or 17 years old. He's the best player out there in all of Europe, the second best basketball league. And that's something I think a lot of people weren't realizing. We looked at the speed, we looked at the athleticism, and the game has changed now in the past 3 years drastically. We see a lot more shooting. Steph Curry, Trae Young now. I mean, all these guys are shooting the ball at Damian Lillard especially. All these guys are shooting the ball at an insane level. And I think that's what translates. That's what's allowing Luka and these guys to really start panning out. I think there's going to be a lot more of them coming in the future as well.
Yep, totally. One thing I've been talking about recently in my episodes, I can't imagine you've been listening to those. No one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still kind of a young podcast. But one thing I've talked about a lot recently is that I have a very strong opinion that I think the NBA Finals are just way too long, especially this year, in that even the first series are 7-game series, which is completely baffles me. I don't know why they're doing that. Do you kind of agree with that take? And, you know, what would you do to kind of make the playoffs more of an enjoyable process or viewership?
So for me, I mean, I think the 7-game series is something that guarantees the best team wins. And I think you have to realize, and that comes down to saying one game is special, but do you possibly want to knock out the Clippers or Lakers in the first round? I think that would hurt both economically, financially for the NBA, but also who doesn't want to see LeBron James play the rest of the playoffs? Who doesn't want to see Kawhi and those guys? And I think that's a big thing. And I think it would be special, man. I think what needs to happen for sure is a play-in game. I love what they did with the Portland series this year. Almost was like the last year with Denver and Utah on the very end there, I believe. Or Denver and Timberwolves last season. They happened to play to the last game of the year. Team that won that game goes to the playoffs. I think that is a critical thing. I think we should have at least one game in each conference, have a kind of win-or-go-home situation. I think another thing that should be possibly thrown out there is the 1-16 seeding. That would mix it up. I think you'd have to figure out scheduling and all, time-wise flights and all that. But overall, if you can get that 1-16 and you keep recounting and reshuffling that, I think that would be something special too.
You know, I can see that point of view. And then obviously, you know, with the bubble, it's kind of hard to blame anything right now, because having the NBA playoffs, I mean, obviously during a pandemic is obviously just crazy to even think about sometimes, you know. So I do give credit for the NBA to, you know, actually figuring out a way to finish the season. But I do got to say, I think the 7-game series are way too long. I don't care if it's if it's Thunder Rockets right now, it's too long for me. I don't care who's playing. So I hope they do change that. I obviously don't mind 7-game series when it comes to like the finals or anything, but I don't think the first series should be, I don't even think the first series should be 5 games, to be honest, because I mean, you said that, you know, obviously the 7-game series pretty much guarantees you who's the better team of the series, but doesn't, and then obviously it goes into economic factors and all that, but wouldn't it be kind of nice to see, you know, more of upsets in the NBA playoffs, or no?
I think that could be an initial shock and an initial big-time reaction kind of thing, and you could have the Cinderella feeling, which I think was pretty special when we saw a team like the Phoenix Suns go, you know, that Cinderella situation was special. I do think, though, I mean, I think if you do narrow it down to maybe 3 or 5, it could make the first round a little interesting, but I think once you get down to that final group of teams, that the conference final, the conference semifinals, having that be around 5 to 7 games, I think would be still critical. Just that, I mean, I think when you look at this, the history of rivalries to form, one game, you can't really get too much heated. I mean, usually you don't see too many fights game one. You see them kind of start picking up. You see the intention start flowing and can really start getting out. We saw the Dallas and Clippers game last couple days ago. That's something I think is special. When you start seeing two teams really go at it and they get that, and there's no leaving that. You have to go play 2 or 3 more games after you just got a technical with a guy. You just got in a fight with him. And I think that does bring a lot more energy to the court at the same time.
Yeah, and I would say, just to, you know, kind of wrap up that topic, I mean, you kind of said it yourself, I would never doubt a Cinderella team or a Cinderella story. to not produce economically and to produce excitement. So I'm just going to leave it with that. But that's all I got for you today. Thank you so much, Zach, for coming on this podcast. Be sure to go follow Zach on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. He has some great content on there. I really do highly recommend that if you are a basketball fan. Any last words, Zach?
Yeah, man, I definitely appreciate having me on today, man. Keep doing your thing and look forward to what we've got next for you, man.
And there you have it. That is the entire interview. Thank you so much, Zach, for coming on this episode of HQI Sports. I really did have a great time recording with you, and I can't wait till we do it again. And I will have more interviews in the future, so please stay tuned for that. But that will be the end of this episode of HQI Sports. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys have a great day, and I'll see you guys next time.